This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
We have Sandy Beyer, who's the Deputy National Director of the Australian Republic Movement, and we thought it'd be very interesting to actually ask what the Australian Republic Movement thinks about Australia Day and what some of their views might be. Good morning to you, Sandy.
Good morning. How are you both today?
Thank you.
The both Tass and I are Republicans, so you're on safe ground there. and in fact, I think the majority of Australians probably are. But Australia Day has been a pretty divisive issue this year, and we're interested that what is the Australian Republican movement? Do you have a view on this discussion around Australia Day, Invasion Day, change the date? You know, do you guys have a view?
Yeah, look, it's becoming more and more, I think, a polarising day for Australians. As a campaign, we don't have a position one way or another. But, I mean, I think it's important to remember that regardless of which side of the fence you sit on, in terms of Australia Day, what people are looking for is a national day to celebrate Australia and the things that make this country great. And so many people have suggested, I think you were discussing it just earlier, you know, the possibility of, you know, perhaps if we became a republic, you know, that might be the day, that might be the time in which we can have a national celebration in which we can all back, we can all get behind and say, you know, this is a day that we can be proud of and celebrate who we are as Australians and what makes our country great.
I mean, I'd love to see Republic Day. I wouldn't call it Independence Day because it reminds me of a terrible movie. But, you know, to celebrate us actually becoming a truly independent nation. And I'd love to, and Tass says it's asking too much, I'd love to change the flag as well. Because I think that flag also has a connotation for the First Peoples who regard Australia Day as Invasion Day. The Union Jack is, you know, a particularly divisive image for them.
Well, I mean, again, we don't have a position on changing the flag. I mean, just making reform like a republic is a big enough change in itself and an important change. I mean, as you're saying, we need to make sure that we have at the head of our government, for instance, our head of state, we need to make sure that, you know, we've got someone there who does represent all of Australia. I mean, I live in a suburb that has 117 different people who claim ancestry from 117 different countries. And yet the suburb that I live in is only ranked 700th in terms of diversity, in terms of Australia. Yesterday, we had 13,000 people from 129 countries pledge allegiance to Australia. Right? So we've got an enormous amount of diversity there. But the, you know, the pledge of allegiance that they were making yesterday was of loyalty to Australia, of to a shared future together, one that, regardless of where we've come from, that we make a commitment together to commit to making Australia a better place and celebrating this great country. But, I mean, at the moment we have a monarch, a head of state, a British monarch, who couldn't make that same pledge that the Australian citizens yesterday made. I think that's important that, you know, when we're talking about this sense of, you know, national identity and thinking about who we are as Australians, we're talking about, you know, a shared commitment to a future working together, and not one that divides us. And that's a problem with, I think, a lot of the dialogue at the moment, is that a lot of the discussion around Australia Day, a lot of the discussion around our national symbols, it's all about dividing Australia into smaller and smaller pockets rather than bringing people together. And so, you know, we're really hopeful at the Republic campaign that when the day that we become a republic and the process of Australia becoming a republic, that, you know, we can celebrate what we have in common rather than what divides us.
to me, it feels inevitable that we will one day become a republic and have our own head of state. I'm still unclear about what the models that are emerging are at the moment and whether there are any models. Do you have a preferred model for our own head of state?
Well, see, look, our position is that there are really two lines of thought. There's that Parliament should appoint our head of state, or that the people should choose for our head of state through a public ballot. There is, you know, different views on that. We've seen that, you know, play out for the last, like, since the 99 referendum, for instance. Our view is that what we need to have is a national vote. Our view is by 2020, that asks Australians, should we become a republic, yes or no, and how should we choose our head of state? And then coming out of that vote, there'll be a clear mandate behind one method of appointment or another. Now, we're not about putting our view, forcing our view onto other people. We're about listening to them and getting their views and making sure that, again, Australia is this inclusive place that listens to Australians and takes that forward. So our view is that coming out of that vote in 2020, then we'd have a clear idea about how we should appoint that head of state. And again, hopefully, you know, majority of people have backed a republic at that point as well, and we can take that forward into a referendum. But we think that's the way forward, a way to unite Australians again and give them a chance to have their say. And in doing that, make sure that we're united behind what, you know, that public mandate that would come out of that vote.
I see. So you actually see this as being a staged process. So you have a survey of some sort to begin with, develop a model, and then put forward a proposition to the people via referendum, which would then become binding.
Yes. So effectively what we're talking about is a national vote, a plebiscite. I know that has become a dirty word in the past.
It certainly has in our community.
But in this instance, you know, a national vote is actually needed to change the constitution in the end. Whereas, you know, perhaps, you know, the what we saw in the last year, a lot of people would say is completely unnecessary. In this instance, it is. We do need a national vote. We do need a majority of Australians, and we need a majority of states to back a change in order to change the constitution. And so, to do that, what we're talking about is having that advisory vote beforehand to say, should we become a republic? And how should we choose that head of state? And then coming out of that, we've got a clear vote to take into an actual referendum, which has that specific proposal that can change the constitution. So again, even at that final step, it gives people that opportunity to say, do I support this change as proposed and this method of appointment, or do I want to stick with the status quo? And we think that's a democratic way to go about it, a way that includes people and a way that gives, you know, Australians their say in this. And it's quite in juxtaposition to, for instance, you know, the way that the monarchy works, or the way that some other, you know, political manoeuvres have worked, where people feel like decisions are being forced onto them.
Because I think the challenge is going to be, Sandy, first off, getting to the point of actually having a plebiscite. You know, when you have fairly entrenched position on the government's part, the opposition leader is open, and I think has said that he would like to have a vote on a republic. But it's become political when really a president, if we follow the model of a lot of other republics, the president, whilst maybe a former politician, the election of a president is not a political matter. It's someone that is a figurehead for the nation. So do you really, to get something by 2020, do you think it's realistic?
Yeah, look, I do think it is realistic. As you say, the opposition leader, Bill Shorten, has committed to having a vote in the next term of Parliament. We're hopeful that regardless of who's in government in the next term of Parliament, that that's something they would consider. I mean, I don't think it's... to be frank, I don't think it's realistic that we'll have a vote in the next year. But I think going into 2019, into 2020, you know, then it becomes much more realistic. And there's an opportunity then to, again, have that conversation with Australians, to actually bring them with us on this important change, on this important reform, rather than, again, it being something that's suddenly, you know, forced upon them. So it's a chance for them to have that conversation. But, look, I do think a vote around 2020 or thereabout is realistic. As you say, we've got that commitment from the opposition. I know the Greens are very much in favour of that, and many, many members of the coalition, including, you know, the Prime Minister is the founder of our organisation.
Yeah, well, we know that.
And, yeah, and so, you know, he's an avid Republican, has been for decades. And many members of the cabinet are also strong Republicans as well. So there's progress that's being made.
Yep. Let's hope this time he supports a republic stronger than he supported marriage equality. In his public works and what he did.
Yeah, we'd love to be able to see him out there campaigning on it. And, you know, he's put this kind of deadline of, oh, well, look, when the monarch changes, then that's the time. Well, look, we don't know when that will be. She's in her early 90s now. She's getting on. We don't know when the Queen will either pass the reins to Charles or when she will pass away.
Do you think it will?
We don't know that timing. But as Australians, we should choose that timing.
Do you think it will happen swiftly after her death, though, or they'll give time to breathe and be respectful?
Look, I think there'll be time. I think there will be time of reflection. And that's also an important time for Australians as well to reflect on this next stage as well, to say, is what has served us in the past, is that really reflective of the country we are now? And is now a good time to actually take that next step and take that full step towards independence?
It's, you know, we have, you know, we've seen the British royal family reinvent themselves. You know, Elizabeth is universally regarded as, you know, a good monarch. I don't know how you actually measure whether a good monarch, I suppose, if you compare
longevity.
Longevity, but, you know, her knowledge and her understanding of her country and politics and the Commonwealth. Often she's referred to as Elizabeth the Last. What we've got coming after that, though, is Charles, which, you know, I find rather a challenging prospect. But then we have this wonderful, you know, William and Kate, you know, that people think, oh, wouldn't it be fantastic, you know, if they jumped over Charles, you know, sort of put him to the side. But reality is the discussion should be about why do we have an English person who has that position by birth as our head of state. I mean, it's nonsense, isn't it?
And it's completely contrary to the values that we celebrate on days like Australia Day. I mean, when we celebrate equality, when we celebrate egalitarianism, when we celebrate, again, the country that we've built, Australians have built, that has almost nothing to do with, you know, the institution of a British monarchy.
No, that's right.
A British monarchy, as you say, you know, appointed by birth. Not because of their merits, not because of you know, what they've done for our country and you know, the leadership that they'll provide to, you know, future generations, or the role model that they'll provide to future generations. No one in Australia can aspire to be the monarch or the head of state of Australia at the moment, and they should be able to do that. And we're talking about equal opportunity
with
for Australians.
Marriage equality. Yeah. We could perhaps marry a male royal who's in line to the throne, and we might get our turn.
Mm. Well, there's definitely two
that's
queens
about the
in
only
here.
Way. That's about I think you have to marry a royal.
We might get a consort in that, since I don't think they even get the title.
No.
Now out of that. You know, it's time. I mean, why not just elect, you know, someone? Yeah. Like, if you know, they could marry the royals and then be elected in their own right, you know, or appointed by parliament, you know, to be our head of state. If they'd be a great leader, then let's make that decision as Australians rather than waiting, you know, to fortune of some sort of romance, you know, for instance.
And yeah. Sandy, this is all about really helping us to shape and form our own identity and our own values as a nation, and to work out what's important for us. So at the moment, we have this sort of anachronism of a British monarchy and this sort of a thing called an Australian Day, which is actually quite divisive rather than helping to actually define some of those things. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but we'd love to continue this conversation with you at some future point. So we'll stay in touch if that's okay.
And maybe we should start the campaign for President Macca.
Yeah, no. Look,
President, let's
hear
that.
Don't.
Okay, thank you very much,
thank
Sandy.
You.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.